And if you want to get in your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel. I'll read a few different verses. Going to start in chapter 2. Amen. Great privilege for us tonight. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2, and I'm going to read one verse there. Chapter 12. It says, Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. I'm going to flip over to chapter 4. And verse 4. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. Man, I'm going to read one more. Verse 11. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Amen. We see two men had great potential. Two young men that had every opportunity, that were raised under a great man of God. Man that was able to do a lot of things. Amen. And I was preparing for this, and I got thinking about, I'm wanting to preach to you a little bit on casualties of ministry. The casualties of ministry. I testified one time at a meeting, and in that testimony, I mentioned pastor's children and my burden for them, and I understand some of the troubles, some of the trials that they face. And I had a pastor's wife come up to me and tell me, if you think it's hard to be a pastor's wife, you should try being pastor's child, you should try to be a drunk's child. And I kind of got me. Because I had a pastor's family there that didn't even realize the own trials their children were going through. So I just want to take a few minutes here and get in with trying to get something across to you tonight. But you know, Eli had these two children that they had every opportunity to do something for God. They were raised in the house of God. They were there. They knew the way everything was done. They knew the way that everything was supposed to be. And you know, I want to tell you right now that they were gone. They had no desire for the things. They were nothing but a mockery of what God wanted in his house. Amen. I was reading, I saw there's a higher percentage of ministerial children that backslide than any percentage of any other group through the church. It's sad. So many young people that are raised in the perfect opportunity to do something for God never quite make it. Never quite make it. Amen. So many are hurt. They're bittered against what they've seen. They're angry because of the things that their parents have endured. They're scared because they know if they go into the ministry, they will be subject to the exact same thing as they saw in their family. They go through so much more than anybody else will ever know. They are the casualties of ministry. I'm not a hurt child, a ministerial child. I am thankful for the opportunity I have. I am grateful for it. Don't get me wrong, but I just want to let you know that this is not a vendetta on my part. But if you're here and you are a preacher's kid, I want to let you know that I am for you, that God has given you an opportunity to do something. Amen. First, I see they're outnumbered. 6% of the church roughly is made up of ministerial children. In this church tonight, I would average about 600 ministers' children, including missionaries and such, in this building. Amen. They are outnumbered. Any mistake they make, anything they do is seen. Anything that they do is under a microscope. They are under more scrutiny than you could ever imagine. Amen. Let me tell you tonight, pastors' kids, you might be under scrutiny, but we are for you. We are for you. Amen. Don't let that one person in the church is down your back get to you. Amen. The whole church is for you. We're pushing for you. Amen. Don't live in fear about what they might say. Amen. You're a kid. You're trying to grow up. You're trying to learn. Let me tell you tonight that we want you to make it. We want you to make it. Amen. They go through so many trials that nobody else in the church will ever understand because they've never been in that position. Amen. Also, they are obligated. They're obligated. Amen. Hophni and Phinehas, they were raised in that temple of God. They were raised in that, and they had no other option. They had no other choice. All they had was the house of God and to do what Daddy told them to do. Amen. I'm not trying to make them good guys, but I'm just wanting to point out a few things here. Hey, man, you know, if your dad is a lawyer, if he's a contractor, if he's a businessman, whatever he might do, his job does not affect you at all. But preacher's kids, hey, man, you have to carry that burden along with your parents. Hey, man, you have to walk with him each and every day. You have to endure some of the same things he does. Hey, man, you're subject to more. You are one that is obligated and captive to a calling that was not of your choice. You did not accept the call to be a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist. You did not accept that call. It was not you that did it. You feel captive in that calling that you're stuck in. Amen. You're immediately a role model. You're immediately a musician, a singer, an usher. You are immediately somebody that has responsibility as a young man or a young woman. Amen. It is not something you asked for, but it is something you have nonetheless. Amen. They are thrust into a role with little to no choice in the matter. Amen. Also, they are overlooked. Overlooked. Eli's sons just felt that they had to be maybe put on a charade. This is what dad does. This is how he does the sacrifice. This is what he does here. Amen. Just trying to give themselves some identity. Amen. So often the minister's children are personally unnoticed, but simply looked at as their father or mother's diplomat. Amen. Let me tell you, young person, if you're here tonight and you feel like there's nowhere else, that you're just David Brim's kid, you're just Ryan Ralston's kid, you're just whoever you are's kid, let me tell you tonight, you have a call for your own life. God has a plan for your life. Amen. You are more than just the shadow of your parents. Amen. There is no need to lack identity, and you do not have to feel as you don't know who you are, because you are exactly the person that God has ordained to be right where you are. Amen. When God called your parents to where you are, he knew you was with them. He knew exactly who was in the family. He did not just call your dad, but he called you right along with them. He knows that you are able to do it. Amen. You know, also, they eventually forget who you are. You get so consumed with being your parents' child, even when you're older, you have a hard time getting out of that stage, saying that you are your own man. A good friend of mine, he was going into something else in this world, and I was talking to him, and I had a hard burden for him. And the only things he said to me, he knew he was doing wrong, but he said, "I just don't want to be known as my father's son. I want to be my own man." Amen. Let me tell you tonight, young people, you can be your own young person. Amen. If you feel outnumbered, it is because God knows only a few people can take what you're going to have to endure. You might be outnumbered, but it's because you are precious. You are one of the few that can actually take it. Amen. You may feel obligated to be doing what you're doing, but let me tell you may feel forced to follow and obey, but God has a plan especially for your life. Amen. You might be doing it because mama and daddy told you to, but if you get an anointing deep inside of you, God will give you a desire to preach. He'll give you a desire to sing. He'll give you a desire to be involved. He'll get inside of you, and you'll have just as strong of a burden as they do. Amen. If you're feeling overlooked, you may feel lost. You may feel you have no identity. Amen. But if God knows and counts every hair on the top of your head, amen, God does not just know you as so-and-so's kid, but God knows your name. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. Amen. And God has a plan for you, young people. God has a plan for you. He is going to use you. He is going to utilize you for the ministry. He created you for a purpose. Amen. Preacher's kids, I love you. I'm there for you. And every one of us up here, we want you to make it more than anything else in this world. Amen. You look around this room. Amen. There's lots of people here that are pushing for you to make it. Don't feel lost in the footsteps of your parents, because you have a plan.